Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. Before we begin today's message, and today is the 29th of September, on the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar, the day begins at sundown, and on the calendar this September 29th, beginning at sundown, begins the feast, which is called Rosh Hashanah. In the Hebrew, the English translation is Feast of Trumpets. I just want to add something. This day marks the birth of Christ. In the book of Isaiah, telling of the birth of Christ, he gives the good news about Christ, and he calls him Emmanuel, God with us. But there's more to it, for the New Testament declares 77 times, not only God with us, but it declares Christ in us, or in other words, us in Christ. That's why in that Thessalonian letter, Paul declares that we should, in everything, give thanks to God, for this is his will concerning us in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is that day that Christ first came. This also is that day that Christ will come again. That's just preparatory material. Let's get into the message. Open your Bibles to the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. I'll give you the text. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, King James says, he wrought a work on the wheel. Proper translation is, he wrought his work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, today, this word is for all us marred vessels. I first heard these words taught on a long time ago and heard them oft repeated by my pastor. And he gave four words and one time five that the message of the potter's house might be understood. The four words he used were principle, purpose, process, and person. One time he used a fifth word, which was prize. What's the message in this 18th chapter of Jeremiah? First part of the message is, God, like the potter, is the boss. And he thankfully will not change. We taught last week on the feast days or set times of God. And there we find God is faithful. He was on time on Passover. He was on time in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He was on time 3 days and three nights, the Feast of First Fruits. He was on time 50 days after First Fruits with the beginning of Pentecost, that is, the beginning of the harvest of the church. He was on time at the birth of Christ, the first trumpet blown at feasts, the first trumpet blown at the Feast of Trumpets. He will be on time at the manifestation of the second trumpet, that is his second coming. He will. At the manifestation of the Feast of Atonement, and he will be on time in the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, where we shall rule and reign with Christ Jesus on this earth for 1,000 years. Principle is, God's the boss. The good news is, he's faithful. What's the purpose of this message? That even though we be marred vessels, God is making another vessel that seemeth good to him. And in 2 Corinthians, we know what that second vessel is. It's the inward man. It is the new creation in Christ Jesus. It is that which is being renewed day by day. What's the process? It's the wheel. It's the circumstance where God knows right where we're at. Sometimes when that clay is being molded, it doesn't seem too comfortable to the clay. But God's the boss. And he is making us marred vessels over again into that which seems good to the potter. In that which seems good to the boss. What's the person? It is Christ. It is that which seemeth good to God. We read in the 8th chapter of Romans, King James reads in the 28th verse, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." No, that's not what the literal says. What the literal says is God enters into all things to work his good to them that are loving God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. He's making us over to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what all your circumstances are, but I want you to know in the midst of the circumstance that the potter who is making over this vessel that was marred in a way that seems good to him knows, does know what your circumstances are. And if they circumstance be contrary to the promises of God, then your job and my job, if I find myself in that situation, and God knows I do almost every day, our job is on this journey of faith to grab hold of the circumstance with the understanding God's the boss. He's making us over. And we, like it says in Psalm 37, should be pliable. Let God do the work. Familiar message from last week in that first set time of God, which is the Sabbath. Just to remind you, the Hebrews letter says there remaineth a, translation is rest, the word in the Greek is a Sabbathing for the people of God. That is to understand God did all his work in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. Christ, in this life, did his work, which was to give himself for our sins, to allow himself to have all our sins laid upon him, all our sins. That's the past, that's the present, that's the future, that's the ones we know about, that's the ones we don't know about. All our sins were laid on Christ. And his last word on the cross is, it is finished. His work was complete. And the first chapter of Hebrews says, after he purified us from our sins, that he sat down. He rested. We are to understand the work's done. And this life of faith has in it the eye that looks to the finished product wherein we are conformed. Today we're being conformed. The completed product. We are conformed to the image of his Son. God says in the 21st chapter of the 8th verse of the book of Jeremiah, it says, and unto this people you shall say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. In C.S. Lewis's work called The Great Divorce, he says there's only two kinds of people in the end. He says, those who say to God, thy will be done, for they know they're in good hands. The potter never takes his hands off the clay, nor does he turn his eye away from what he's making. And then there are those to whom God says, your will be done. Think on that. Think on that. This is a short message, but it's one that my pastor used to preach every year because it brings into focus this relationship that God is having with us. He's making this marred vessel over again, as seemeth good to him. Folks, we are in good hands. I don't care what the circumstance of your life may dictate. If you have committed your way unto God, understand, those who come to God, he will, Jesus said, in no wise cast out. That fifth word that was used in one of his messages is the prize. And as we continue faithing through our last breath, we have this, which the Apostle Peter tells us in the first chapter of his epistle. He says, to an inheritance, uncorruptible and undefiled, not marred, and that fadeth not away, which is reserved in heaven for us. Now that's the message of Jeremiah 18, the potter's house. I'm not political in this form called the God School. But I happen to come across something that I think is apropos. To today. I just happen to be reading, and bear with me as I'm trying to find it. I read it in another Bible, a different one than I'm using at the moment. I was reading in this past week the Second Thessalonian letter, which we already referred to earlier in this message. But this is just a word to those who have ears. It says in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the 11th verse. Let's go to the 10th verse. Let's go to the 9th verse. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Boy, there's going to be a time coming on this earth. Paul tells us it's already at work. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth in God, Jesus said, thy word is truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, and they shall receive a lie. As I'm watching the goings on in this goddamned political arena this last week, Paul opens that third chapter wherein he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we might be, this is a prayer, I say from my heart that we all ought to be praying for the President of the United States, Donald Trump, and ourselves, and that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not faith. There's a marginal note for a word in this second verse translated that we might be delivered from unreasonable. The marginal note says, absurd. My opinion of what's going on in Washington today, and quite frankly, going on in much of the world, we must continue in prayer, and part of that prayer should be for our current president, Donald Trump. I've said it. I'm going to stand by it. I'm not taking political sides, but I'm certainly watching the activities of unreasonable, of absurd men, and that we should always pray. Jesus said men ought always to pray. Include Paul's words in your prayer for this nation, which God has formed. And which I have every confidence he will keep to the end. And that's the God School for today.